Right, Numbers 21. When the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Atharim, then he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Thus the name of the place was called Hormah. Then they set out from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. And the people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so many people of Israel died. So people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the sons of Israel moved out and camped at Oboth. And then they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Ayabarim in the wilderness, which is opposite Moab to the east. From there they set out and camped in Wadi Zered. And there they journeyed and camped on the other side of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that comes out of the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is a border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Wahab in Sufa and the wadis of the Arnon, the slope of the wadis that extend to the site of Ar and leans to the border of Moab. And from there they continue to bear, that is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Assemble the people that I may give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing to it." The well which the leaders sank, which the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staffs. And from the wilderness they continued to Matana. And from Matana to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley that is the land of Moab, the top of Pisgah, which overlooks the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn off into the field or vineyard. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your border." But Sihon would not permit Israel to pass through his border. So Sihon gathered all his people, went out against Israel in the wilderness, and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel struck him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to the Jabbok as far as the sons of Ammon to the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel lived in all the cities of the Amorites and Heshbon and other villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore, those who use proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built, so let the city of Sihon be established. For a fire went forth from Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab, the dominant heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You are ruined, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to an Amorite king, Sihon. But we had cast him down. Heshbon is ruined as far as Dibon. Then we have laid waste even to the Nopha, which reaches to Medeba." Thus Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Moses sent a spy out to spy out Jazer, and they captured his villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out with all his people for battle at Edrei. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand, and all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon." So they killed him and his sons and all his people until there was no remnant left him, and they possessed his land. Amen. Oh, sorry. So chapter 21 is the last part of the first half of Numbers. Or I said Numbers is divided into two books, or two major sections. The first section, you just think of Israel in the wilderness. And now they've moved now, and they've now entered into Moab. So it's now Israel dealing with foreign armies. And from next, from tomorrow, you have Balak and Balaam, and you get that whole episode, and that's actually the next stage that comes out from that. Okay, and so the first part is you have the Canaanite king, Arad, and he comes, and they fight against Israel, but Israel loses the battle. Not only does Israel lose the battle, but many of the sons of Israel are captured. They're back in slavery, basically. And so what this causes the people to do is they go back before the Lord. It says in verse 2, they made a vow to the Lord. And this kind of a setback was absolutely necessary for the Israelites. They begin to get very cocky. They got very self-assured. They put their own strength in their own abilities. They put their strength in their own devices. And they did not look towards the Lord. And so this is part of a humbling process that the Israelites go through. And then they get their act together. And you'll find that a lot of times in our lives, it works very, very similarly in that way. There are, I don't know if you ever heard this phrase before, but it says, pride is like bad breath. Everyone knows you have it except yourself. And it's quite a common, it's like a good idea for us to recognize that. There are a lot of times we don't recognize that we are proud. A lot of times we think that we're fine. We think that we're okay. In fact, a lot of times we can actually spiritualize our pride and say, call it God's favor or, you know, whatever we want to call it. I mean, there is definitely God's favor, so I don't want you to lose sight of that. But a lot of times, you know, we go through these episodes in our life, and then our pride gets exposed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And what Paul is trying to say is, you know, you continue to move in such confidence in yourself. It says, "Let him who thinks he stands." In other words, hey, I'm good. Everything's okay. And this is, you know, and he says, be careful, because that's when it falls. Remember, the fall comes after the pride. And so it's really interesting to see that this is the whole situation of Israel. So they lose this battle. You know, and seemingly the Canaanite king Arad, he wasn't such a powerful figure. And so which caused the defeat to be even more grievous in that way. And so the Israelites needed to totally learn to trust in God instead of trusting in themselves. You know, most likely because this Canaanite king, you know, in the south country was pretty minuscule. You know, they thought, oh yeah, we don't really have to seek God. You know, we don't really have to go before the Lord. This is easy. You know, we're just going to take care of this. And then they lose, and some of them are captured. And so the next thing you know is they get their act together before God. All right, Lord, please, God, we need you. You know, you're the only one that can do this. And then that's exactly what happens. And so they made a vow to the Lord, and the Lord heard the voice of Israel, verse 3, and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they destroyed them in their cities. And so much so that the name of the place was called Hormah, which is the word for destruction. And so it's actually interesting. The word Hormah means two things. It means a devoted thing, and also means destruction. And so you can see how appropriately they named this place, because they finally devoted themselves to God, and the result of that was the destruction of this Canaanite city. And so those things kind of went hand in hand. Their victory came out of the place of devotion. Right? I mean, you should look up this word. It's quite interesting. So they finally moved through this thing. And so remember the last chapter, they were not allowed to go through the land of Edom. And so they have to go all the way around. And the path is very treacherous. It's not the king's highway, which they want to get to. This was the main thoroughfare by which everyone traveled. they had to go through swamps and marshes, and there was no water there, there's no food there. And so it was a very, very difficult journey. And so what did the Israelites start doing? They started complaining again. They started saying, God, you know, how can you do this? You brought us out of Egypt to die again. You know, this constant bickering, this constant complaining. You know, we have no food, we have no water, and we loathe this miserable food. What was this miserable food? It was manna. It's remember when they first got it, that they called it manna because it's, what is this? This is incredible. This bread that comes out of heaven, so sweet. And now, after, you know, 37 years of manna, you know, and honestly, I think if we ate something for 37 years, we'd probably be pretty ticked ourselves. And this is the current state of Israel. They get really, really upset, and they start complaining. And so what does the Lord do? Verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, that many people of Israel died. This is actually 1 Corinthians 10:9 talks about this. And Paul says that the serpent came because they tested the Lord. They tested him. And so why you brought us out of this place? And it was more than just complaining. They were testing God. And as a result, these serpents came. Now, there's a couple ways you can look at this. I don't think God sent fiery serpents, even though that's what it says. You have to read, you know, in between the lines there. The area, again, where they were walking, were famous for these flying lizards that bit people. There were snakes, water snakes. They were full of scorpions. And so, and these sandal people, very easy for them to get bit in their ankles and whatnot. And this is primarily what happens. And so this is the way I look at passage like this. There are dangers on the road all around us, right? There are things that we can be very easily susceptible to. And what God does is when we're walking with the Lord, God's favor and his protection is on us. And so things that normally would maybe smite us or whatnot actually don't. But when you're in a situation like the Israelites were, where you're complaining, you basically now come into the fullness of the environment around you. And in a sense, you're unprotected. And as a result, they get bit and all these things happen. You know, it's like I always picture the Lord as his protection is like an umbrella. And the umbrella is there, okay? And so that protection is always made available to us. And so you can, and it rains all the time. It's always going to rain. That's just the nature of this sinful world that we live in. There's always going to be stuff pouring upon us. We can choose to live under the umbrella of God. His guidance is always there. His protection is always there. Or because of sin, we move out of that umbrella and we get soaking wet. Now we endure the fullness of the wrath of the world around us. I think in that same way, because they had tested the Lord and they had really, just made this situation even worse because of their complaining. And as a result, they come out of the protection of the Lord. And those animals that were there, the lizards and whatnot, they end up biting them, and some people died. And so what happens? So the people came to Moses, and this says, oh, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord. That they come into a place of repentance. They realize what they've done. Oh my God, we messed up again. And then they turn to the man of God. Can you please intercede for us? Can you please pray for us to remove these serpents? And then Moses did. And then this is what God tells Moses and Aaron. Go make a fiery serpent. And the fiery serpent, either the lizards and whatnot were very bright colored, or that the bite that they made was very fire, was very red, you know, bright colored and you know, fiery, you know, in that way. So I don't know, one or the other. And so they make this serpent. And if you ever look at, if you ever go to a doctor's office or you go to medical school, and you see most of the, it's actually this rod with a serpent around it. And that's actually all comes all the way back from this text. It's from the scriptures. You realize a lot of things that are in the world around us are actually biblically based, because usually the beginnings of a lot of things are actually started out of the Bible. Whole nother talk for another time. And so they come to this place, and he says, all you do is just lift up the standard, you know, this banner, really this staff. Lift up this staff, and when people are bit and they look at it, right, then they'll be healed. And so he's not talking about idolatry, okay? He's not lifting up the standard. Obviously, this staff is what we call a type of Christ. If he be lifted up, and if we looked upon him, we would be healed, we would be saved. And so we see this idea, but think about this. Go to Mark chapter 16, it says, remember that picture? It says, these signs shall follow those that believe. They will cast out demons, right? They will speak in new tongues. And if they pick up any deadly serpents, right, and poison, it says they will not harm them. Now, if you've seen documentaries and whatnot, there's a whole a cult of people in, especially in the United States, in like Appalachian areas, where that's what they do. Their church services, they get together and they bring serpents out. Like deadly. And they dance with them. Have you ever seen these crazy documentaries? Cultish, charismatic people. And they totally misunderstand that what Jesus is talking about, you know, the whole is actually Numbers 21, right? It's a picture of them, of that if you, you know, these signs shall follow those. Obviously, the sign is we're talking about Christ. You know, that's the whole thing. And I mean, we see something later on, and that's exactly what Paul does. Remember, in Malta, he picks up the serpent, bites him, and he's like, you know, he's fine. And they think he's a god after all this. And that's why, you know, the other side too. This is why I speak in tongues as well. It's not so controversial. It's so simple. Jesus said that we would. I mean, it's like, read the dang Bible, man. You know. It's like Jesus said that we'll speak in new tongues, and so that's why I speak in tongues. Yeah, you can't get any more clear than that, you know, as well as Paul gives the whole thing, but I'm not here to talk about the gifts and all these things. But he says that, and so he lifts up this standard. Again, this standard, it's there's no magical formula in this serpent wrapped around the staff. It's really a type of Christ. That when we look upon the Lord, we'll be saved. I mean, in essence, we'll be healed. And it's just a beautiful picture of how this whole thing works. And so they lift up this serpent, and yeah, every one of these guys, they get healed. All they have to do is just look upon. And God does his healing miracle work. In that same way, every human being on this planet need to merely look and call upon the name of the Lord. And it says, and they'll be saved. It's quite a powerful picture that's going on here. And so now Israel is right before God. They are in right standing with the Lord. They're walking with him. And God starts just moving. And I mean, doing amazing things through them all through Moab. I mean, they're conquering people, water is springing up all different places, and they're singing songs now. I mean, do you see the such a difference that before they're grumbling, they're caught in captivity because they tested God, because they sinned before the Lord, and then they repent. This incredible pattern, they repent, and then the fullness of God's favor and blessing come upon them. And they start moving all of, they have two victories, Sihon, the king of the Amorites. And they've been saying, hey, let us pass through your land. We're not going to eat your food or take away any of your vineyards. We're not going to even drink well from your well. Just allow us to pass through. And these guys, man, they say, no, you know, you can't pass through. And then, you know, they attack Israel, and because they're walking with the Lord, God smites them and just utterly destroys. There's two cities, and they take up so much possession of the land. This land is not even what they're after. You know what I mean? They haven't quite stepped into the promised land yet. And you just think, man, if these kings were just nice, if they were kind, I mean, what an offer. We're not going to drink any of your stuff. We're not going to eat any of your stuff. We're just going to walk through it, and we're trying to get to the king's highway, you know, into the promised land. And these guys are suspicious, you know what I mean? They're irreverent. And so God just takes care of them. And you see, and so then they start singing songs, you know, about these conquests. And then they get to Bashan, the king of Og, and then the same thing. They battle, and they end up winning. And it's like this really great formula in many ways. It's so simple, okay? We sin. We're going to sin. Repent. Turn away from our sins. You know, confess. Ask God for forgiveness. And does God, he has a very short memory. And then it leads us into fruitfulness and prosperity and victory, you know, all these things. And that's basically what happens. And then now they're in Moab. And so 22 starts a whole new chapter of the foreign intrigue and conquest before they get in. Okay, so let's close our eyes. It's amazing how similar we are to Israel. We've experienced God. We have, we know who He is, and we've seen His power. But yet, many, many times we go before Him and complain. God, You didn't give me this. Those guys have that. How come I didn't get that? And we keep fighting against Him. We complain about the good things that He's given to us. And then when things are good, right? Come on, people, this is our human nature, isn't it? When things are good, then we don't need God anymore. Oh, here's just a little king. Oh, we can beat them. Lord, we don't really need You right now. Until we stumble and fall. And then we turn back to the Lord. I mean, this is the picture of chapter 21, but it could be the story of our life. We fail to trust God. And we trust more in ourselves. But see, that's not the end of the story. The Lord just simply says, repent, return. Right, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And God's very quick to forgive. He is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And if we're relying on ourselves, if we're complaining about what God's doing in our life, let's learn from the Israelites and let's turn back to Him.
Together, beautiful reward. all kings. You deserve our everything. We will give you our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King. See in part. Right now we're warmed by the burning flame of the fire in our hearts. We promised you will lead us to your throne, where we will worship you and you alone. And we will give you glory, bring you above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King.
Before the Lord, if you have been doing what the Israelites did in this chapter, you know, complain about what you have, maybe mistake God's goodness, and then you started trusting yourself instead of Him again, moved in our pride, just return to the Lord, repent, ask God to forgive you. Trust Him again. Say, Lord, my strength comes from You and You alone, not of my abilities, not of my circumstances. Right? He's always just a prayer away for us. Let's pray this morning.
Thank you.
Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling cancer and going through chemo and recovering from surgery. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for His grace to cover all the members of their families and really battle for this time. Let's pray for God's work. Pray for our community that's also battling illness but also needs to meet Jesus. So let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling different illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's continue to pray for SP Beijing, and we had a great weekend with Pastor Sam Kim, so let's continue to pray for him and his family. And you know, you heard the news that Pastor Hyunsu will be moving, so let's pray for that transition as well with all the leaders, and pray for our missionaries there. Pray for Jesse, pray for the Chung family, pray for Matt and Nate's parents and Edie Clark. Just continue to lift up the churches, the underground, above ground, international. that Holy Spirit would just really continue to breathe His life and through this country. Let's pray. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray that God would just continue to use these leaders to guide the church and take care of all the due diligence and bureaucracy and the paperwork that we need to do with the government. Let's just continue to lift them up and their families. Pray for our hospitality ministries. Pray for welcoming and barista, and ask God to continually use them to welcome people into our church, and the people to come will just receive God's love through them. Let's pray for diligence, that all the volunteers will be on time, they will take their service seriously before the Lord and really serve Him with great joy. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries. Let's lift up our men's and women's ministries. Our men, especially their Monday morning prayer meetings and their Pure Desire group that they've started. Let's pray for the women's ministry that still forming, and leaders need to rise up. Let's pray for the young adult men and women as well. Let's just ask that these groups would really grow and really learn to trust each other and really, iron sharpening iron in this regard. Let's pray. Let's pray for a house church meeting tonight for Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Line Rock, and Tai Hang. Let's ask God's presence to be with us tonight as we share a lot of material to go through over this whole weekend. But let's pray that that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide all the discussions in the time. we thank you today, God. We thank you for, Lord, just the reminder through the lives of the Israelites, God. And we many times find ourselves in very similar situations, Lord, where we mistake your goodness, God, and we start trusting in ourselves alone instead of depending on you. Or we complain, God, when you give us good things, Lord, as we compare our things to other people's things, and we become very ungrateful, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd really help us, Lord. And when we do enter in those seasons where we get very prideful, God, or very ungrateful, Lord, that your mercy would be extended to us, Lord, that we would move in repentance and that you would forgive us, God, when we seek your face. I thank you, Lord. Help us to walk, God, in perpetual awareness of your goodness in our life, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. We love you, Jesus. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.